So you go up into a mountain and speak down on them, or go into a ship and speak from the water. You know, can you imagine if he preached standing on the water? That would have been, they probably would have stopped listening to him. But it's something he could have done. I suppose I'm being a little silly about it. But to me, it's sort of a funny thought. Here he is walking on the water in the late at night. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. Which is kind of a funny thing to say, because if it isn't him, if it's something evil, I suppose it might ask him to come out anyways to drown him. But he asked this question, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he starts walking on the water with the Lord. That's, in the annals of Christianity, everyone likes that idea. Walking on the water with Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. You know, it's not that Peter, not that faith is some magical thing with magical properties that allows us to just walk on water. But when Jesus asked him to come out on the water, Peter believed that he could, because Jesus had asked him. And if he asked him, I suppose the idea is that we all need to have the knowledge to know that he is there to save us. We need not ask him again. But it is human nature. Because we know we don't stand there by any virtue of our own, but that he has to hold us up and keep our heads from going under, so to speak. And I don't fault Peter, because he's no different than any of us. You know, we walk out there into the place of faith where you're depending on faith alone. And it can be scary. Because you see the wind and the sea and the waves roar. You can imagine they're on a rough sea. It's not like he's walking out there on a pleasant afternoon, when you can sort of, when the illusion of being on a surface would be reasonable. You know, like if you're on a calm water and you walk out and you feel it firm under your feet, you think, hey, you can. It's easy to sort of continue in the believing you're going to keep walking. But when the sea and the waves are roaring, that's when it's hard to believe. And so in life, you know, it's easy to believe in Christ when things are going well. But when things start to go troublesome, sometimes I have to laugh at the way I say things, because my spoken grammar is pretty bad. But when things in life begin to be on a trouble, you know, when there's trouble and when there's financial troubles, automobile troubles, right? There's food troubles and this trouble and that trouble and electricity and this and that and the other. I guess I think of the things that plague me from time to time. Are we going to have enough to eat? Are we going to be able to keep power on? Are we going to be able to heat our home? And these doubts come. Is God really going to carry me through? And also the thoughts come, what does it mean for him to carry me through? You know? Does it mean that the water always has to be calm? That it always has to be smooth as glass? Does that mean that God's carrying me through? Or is he carrying me through when I stay on the surface? No matter how the waves in the sea roar, if I'm still alive, God is my Savior. Is he not? You know, does he have to preserve all my comfortable lifestyle, quote-unquote? I put a quote-unquote because I like to think that my lifestyle isn't that comfortable. And I like to think that I could raise my children in peace. But on the other hand, I know that, you know, that whatever the Lord would bring to me, whatever roaring seas of trouble, would ultimately be for my good. So He is present to save me, to save my soul, to turn me from my iniquities, to do good for me, ultimate good. Not merely to keep the sea calm. He showed before that He could calm the sea if He wished. But He also showed here that I can walk on the raging sea too. It's one thing to calm the sea. Everybody wants the Lord to calm the sea. But who wants to jump out on the raging waves with Him? Peter, in a moment of, I think, almost being beside himself with amazement, he says to himself, I want to go out there with Him. Not really thinking. I feel it's the same way when I think about the end times. You know, I want to be alive in the end times. I want to serve God in the end times. Not really thinking about what that means. Though I do think about it. But when I first started thinking those thoughts, I didn't think about it. I didn't think about all the trouble that that would mean. I didn't think about all the pain that that would bring. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about how scary it would be to actually step out there into those perilous times that are coming. Nevertheless, I still want it. Just as any Christian with his salt would like to walk with Jesus on those raging waves, I want to walk with Him through the raging waves and the tempest of the tribulation. The end of the world. You know, the end of the world scenario where the world, and I say this for the benefit of people who aren't well trained in the scriptures. You know, when I say tribulation, that word, I've never really been fond of it because it's so odd. It means the time of trouble that comes prior to the return of the Lord. When the world, you know, Antichrist and the mark of the beast and the events of the book of Revelation and all, and that, when that comes, it is called by many the tribulation. There shall be great tribulation. And tribulation just means trouble. Verse 33, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. At that point, they were like, yeah, this is it. This guy, they'd seen Him heal, but there'd been prophets in the Old Testament that had healed. You know, there'd been prophets that had multiplied food. And sure, the axe head had been made to swim, meaning the axe head made of metal had floated on the water.